Morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Natural Born Hunter podcast. Currently, it's a beautiful Sunday morning here in upstate New York, sunny, 75. Just kidding. It's 40 and pouring down rain, and it looks like it's going to be for most of the week, which is kind of a bummer. You know, hoping some snow is going to drop here shortly. I know out there in Colorado it's a little colder where Phil is. What's it going on out there, Phil?
I mean, I'm just trying to stay warm.
For those of you who don't know, that's my co-host, Phil, the Iceman, Big Sexy Mendoza, as the ladies and men know him out there in Colorado. The men want to be him, the women want to be with him. I'm sure some of you also have that problem. And tonight we are joined by a very accomplished archer, engineer, hunter, kind of the total package, really. The men, all the little hunters want to grow up and be when they become a big boy. And that is Sean Greathouse, not only of Hamsky, the world's foremost archery rest company, but also of Outback Outdoors, which I know if you've listened to our episode with Trevin and Lane, you know those guys are really pushing the boundaries on hunting TV as far as breaking the mold and being newer and more innovative than the rest of the class. Sean, welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's great to finally join you here. That was quite the introduction. I don't think I've ever been called a total package before. I know my wife would beg to differ with you.
You know, I've been working on my introductions.
That was good.
Yep. Morning, Sean.
Morning, Phil. How are you?
Doing good, man. Doing good.
So this is going to take it off archery for a little bit, but we'll come back to that. So you know how last episode we touched on the greatness of Ric Flair?
I do remember that, Will.
All right. Well, that got me onto the greatness of Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream. So this weekend, I've been watching a lot of old Dusty Rhodes footage to kind of bring into my own repertoire, if you would. You know, looking for a little flavor to add to the Will Bradley paradigm. Have you guys ever watched any Dusty Rhodes promos?
I can't say that I have.
It's been a little while.
All right. Do this a favor, audience at home, if you're playing along. Stop the podcast right now. Head over to YouTube or whatever Vimeo you watch videos on. Search Google and type in Dusty Rhodes Hard Times promo. It is by far the greatest, one of the greatest speeches ever given by a man. I put it up there with like Martin Luther King as far as delivery. Maybe not, you know, the greatness of the message, but I'm telling you, it will be well worth it if you just want to hear a guy who can just talk the wheels off a car.
I'll have to check that out.
Hard times. Write that down, Phil.
Okay, Will.
All right. Back to archery. Outback Outdoors. You're now working with them. What's going on over there, Sean?
Well, so I've been kind of – we've been a sponsor of the show for about 7 years now. And, of course, Trevin and myself have a great friendship. And along with that – you know, through the years, Andrew and myself, we filmed a couple of episodes, and back, I don't know, I guess maybe 5 years ago, Kevin said, "Hey, you guys are sponsors of the show. If you want to come to our film school, come free, and we'll teach you how to film." And so that's something that we actually took him up on, and I went and learned how to film some of the hunts that was an interest of mine. And through the course of time, I've started filming different episodes, different shows with him. And I've been a guest on their show a couple times. And then last fall, he said, "Well, as much as you're filming, why don't you just become one of our hosts?" And so I actually took him up on that and decided because of my love of the outdoors and laying the footage down and being able to go back and remember the hunt, I went ahead and joined the Outback Outdoor team as a host. And this was actually when I joined, filming was kind of over. So this was actually our first year where I was actually out filming the shows and being a part of that. And I'm excited to see how some of these shows turned out this next season.
So this is your first season then, full time with them. Well, I mean full time as far as.
Right, where I'm actually a member out in the field filming the hunts as an Outback Outdoor guy. I've been, like I said, a guest several times. When I officially joined the show, the season was already over. You know, hunting season was done, and so again, I've been on there as a guest a couple of times, and Andrew and I've actually filmed his moose hunt. A lot of people saw that and really liked that. And so we've been on there as Kamsky a time or two, but this is actually the first year where we've just finished, or for the most part, finished the season filming, and so we'll have a few episodes on there next year. And I'm pretty excited just because it actually lets me share my hunts with my family and friends now, and that's kind of the main reason. It wasn't to be on television or anything like that. It was so I could go back and relive some of these hunts and see the sights. And I wish I'd been filming my hunt a long time now, just because of the things that you forget, the little cactus that you see, the little caterpillar crawling across the road. I mean, it's all the little things that really make up the hunt. It's not the grip and grins at the end of the hunt, if you're lucky. It's the journey. And that's one of the things I like about Outback Outdoors is it's more of a movie as a show, as opposed to a show. It's not your typical show where you've got some guy sitting in a tree stand, though we do that, but it's more the journey getting to where you are and showing all the little things along the way. So I'm pretty excited to be a part of that. It just lets me get out in the outdoors. It is work, but we are having a lot of fun with it right now. So as long as it stays fun, I'll continue to be a part of it.
And Sean, you and I have known each other for a few years now, and you give the presence that you're kind of the quiet, reserved guy. You're easy, right? You're easy of Hamsky, but you know you're a hardcore guy when it comes to what you believe in and what you. The animals you decide to pursue when it's for hunting purposes. And a lot of people don't know this, but you're a very accomplished bow hunter from the species you've been able to take, you know, record book animals you've been able to take. Tell us, because in the past, like you said, it was for, you know, if you recorded something, it was for your family and your friends. Now, being that it's for TV, does anything differ with Sean Greathouse and your approach to hunting? Because I know you're a very patient guy, and you're a very methodical guy when it comes to hunting. So is there any difference now with being with the camera guy behind you at times? Or tell us about that.
Well, so I actually learned a lot about myself this year. Being at full draw with the cameras behind you, I've had to actually rein some things in and go back to, you know, being the new guy on Outback Outdoors, I want to come out and make a little bit of an impression. I don't want to, I'm the new guy, so I got this bar to set. And I learned by doing that, I was constantly having to keep myself in check and go back to, wait a minute, why am I really doing this? I got to be me. So I learned some things about myself this year that, again, let's do this for the right reason. It'll be me, and let's just hunt to lay down the footage of cottonwood if I was actually out in the field. And you get a camera in front of you, and you want to be articulate. You want to be, but I learned you just got to be yourself and forget about the camera. So that was a challenge at first. Start filming, you start doing interviews, and you want to sound all smart and everything, and you just got to forget about that and be yourself. It's kind of like now you get on this podcast with Skype, and if I was just on the telephone with you guys, it'd be a little different, I think. Kind of crazy.
Do you, when you're out there, do you ever say something and you're like, man, that sounds stupid. I hope that gets out.
All the time. All the time.
I'm looking forward to that because, you know, between you know, like I said, we've been able, we've shot some tournament archery together, and we've actually got to travel together some. But just the details, man. I mean, like I said, Sean and Will may not know this, and the listeners may not know it, but Sean just kind of, like you said, his nickname and you know, his portion of the name Hamsky being easy, it truly is that. You'll be hanging out with Sean, and hey, man, what are we gonna go eat? You know, I'm easy. You know, and it just comes off totally natural and just kick back. And I'm looking forward to see that along with the group, the rest of the guys from Outback Outdoors, because like you said, being able to see Sean's true colors, I think is going to add that another element to that show, which it was already a good show. So looking forward to seeing that. But you've had some success this year as well. I mean, you put a few animals down. I saw some pictures on social media. So can you give us a little taste about, I know that you guys probably want to save some of that stuff for the show, but can you give us any little taste about some of those adventures you had this year?
You know, I can. I've actually had the opportunity to hunt in 5 different states this year, and I've put a few deer on the ground this year, none of them in Colorado. I haven't put an animal on the ground in Colorado, my state yet, which is kind of surprising. A lot of people don't know, but if we're going to hunt public land, and I'm a do-it-yourself bow hunter, that's what I prefer. And if we're going to hunt in our home state, private ground, we actually have to pull filming permits, now being associated with the show. And you have to line that up well in advance to be able to hunt that public ground. And this year, on our public land elk hunt, there weren't any elk in the area, and we knew where there were elk, but we didn't have a filming permit in that area. So rather than go hunt that area, we decided to stick it out and wait for the elk to move in, which never happened. So sometimes being a part of these television shows isn't all it's cracked up to be. We do have some limitations and things, and to do it right, do it ethical and all those things, there's actually a lot that goes into it. So when people see and they say, well, you guys are this television show, you're always hunting on private land and stuff. I did hunt on private land for some of these deer hunts a fair amount. And people say, well, that's so much easy, it's guided. Well, it's not always guided. Yes, we do get to hunt private ground, but we don't have to have a filming permit on those areas. And I enjoy spot and stock, or ambush, or doing things a little bit unconventionally. And when you have a cameraman that's sneaking in on a 180-inch mule deer bedded, that's just that much more that's going to give it away. So, you know, a lot of times people are quick to say, well, you're hunting on private ground, you got it easy. Well, that's not always the case, especially if you're trying to lay it down on film. So, but, yeah.
What's your favorite part about hunting on film or filming hunts? I guess it could go either way.
Well, so I wouldn't say hunting on film is not necessarily my favorite thing to do. It's a lot of work, but it's all worth it when I get to go back and we get to sit down in front of the television with my family and we get to show them the finished product. I went to Australia, last year and the year before. First year I went just to film for Outback. They needed a cameraman. They were in a pinch. I was able to up and go. So lucky me, I got an all expense paid trip over to Oz to hunt. And I actually got to hunt a little behind the bow myself. And my family was unable to go. And that's somewhere where my wife has always wanted to go. So me being able to go over to Australia, hunt, we didn't only hunt, we went and saw some of the tourist sites and some of that stuff, but I was able to bring that back and at least share a portion of what I was able to see with her. And so that's the fun part of the filming and the hunting, is the finished product. And then, you know, 20 years from now, being able to sit back and watch some of those hunts that are still in my brain, but now that just puts it right back. Oh yeah, I remember that rock, or that mountain, or that whatever it is at the time, it just refreshes your memory. And so those are the things I'm looking forward to, and not only that, but some of the camaraderie and stuff between myself and some of the other hosts or guys that I hunt with. It's not only the Outback Outdoor guys that I get to spend time with hunting. We've got other friends, and like Andrew, my business partner, you know, we've got to share some memories on his moose hunt. And to go back and watch that stuff, it just rekindles the fire, so to speak.
So how is Andrew?
Andrew's doing good. We're already planning our Alaskan moose hunt for next season. Tim Gillingham, the other portion of Hamsky, he's actually in town right now, so we all went to dinner last night, and we've got a spot in Alaska that's the plan for this year. We've got a spot we're going to, over-the-counter spot, and then the next big hunt we're planning for next year. So I think we're all pretty excited. We've got some new products that we just come out with, and so things are good right now. Andrew's doing well. And I know he's excited. We're getting ready for the ATA show, which is coming up in just over a week. And so everything's good.
Now,
go ahead, Will.
Now, you've been hunting with Tim and Andrew for a long time, right?
You know, we have. That's actually how Hampton was formed. I used to travel with Tim some on the tournament. And we were rooming in a hotel one night and talking about some of the other products that were on the market we didn't like. We decided, you know, we need to make our own. And Tim, Andrew, and myself actually went on an elk hunt in Idaho. And it was during that time when Andrew decided, hey, you know, I want to be a part of that. So the three of us created Hamsky. And that was like 8 years ago now. So time's flown. It's amazing it's been that long.
What's your favorite hunting memory of going out with those two?
Oh, man. I got one. We were hunting Idaho, and Tim decided he wanted to rent some horses. And, you know, horses can be a pain in the butt depending on where you're hunting. And we were hunting an area. We hadn't used the horses all week. And the last day of the hunt, we were actually going to go home that same day, but we decided to give it one more morning. I went out and killed a elk on the side of K2. I mean, it was back in there. So Andrew decided to stay back and clean up the cabin, and Tim and I came back, got the horses, and we're going to go pack this bull of mine out. And turns out we had them in a little corralled area around a little cabin that we were staying in, and this corralled area was probably about 2 acres of area where these horses were confined to. And we were able to catch two of the three horses, and the third horse, we couldn't catch it. And of course, you know, we go out, we pack our bull out with two horses. And when we come back, we still couldn't catch this third horse. And I thought for sure, if anybody knows Tim, I thought for sure Tim was going to shoot this horse with his bow. We were there literally, I'm not kidding, until midnight trying to catch this horse. And of course, we didn't have any rope. We were using extension cords and all this trying to catch this horse. And there were two or three times I thought he was going to go grab his bow and shoot this thing. I thought we were going to be buying a horse for the guy we rented it from.
Backing out horse meat.
That was a memory I won't ever forget. And that's something that, man, I wish we would have had that on film. That was funny.
Hey, so you probably know Tim better than a lot of people. Like I said, being that you traveled with him some and you know, business partners with him. And I like Tim. I mean, he's always been one of those guys that'll engage in a conversation with you, and you might not like what you hear sometimes because he'll tell you how it is or how he feels it is, right? But Tim is one of those guys that, and I've just heard the stories, I've never witnessed it firsthand, and I'm not trying to throw Tim under the bus here, but being that we're talking about stories and you know, experiences, whether it was hunting, and I want to ask a question on the tournament side of things. I've heard numerous times that Tim would go out and shoot a, you know, usually these tournaments are two-day tournaments on the 3D side. Tim will go out and shoot a tournament, and he'll shoot whatever the score is, good or not so good, and he'll figure out that there's something not right with his bow. And he'll take his bow completely apart in the hotel room.
Yes, that's happened more times than I can count on one hand. And he goes to a lot more tournaments than me, so that is true. If you travel with Tim, you're either real lucky or real unlucky. And if you like to shoot, spend time at the range, you're real lucky. But, you know, usually we're coming in from out of state. We've traveled all day. And we'll end up at the range shooting in car headlighting. And I tell you what, nobody works harder than him at archery. No one. That guy, got a lot of respect for him and how hard he works to achieve what he has.
Yeah. So, from that, when you guys decided to start or form Hamsky, and you guys started throwing ideas back and forth about products and this and that, you know, how, I mean, I know the quality of the products. I can speak to the quality of the products, right? To me, they're second to none. But was it Andrew's engineering mind, or was it Tim's just, you know, wanting everything to be perfect? Who was the worst one in the chain there to keep something from coming to production? Because obviously it had to be perfect before it came out. So, well, I mean, shed some insight into that.
So Andrew's a crazy smart rocket scientist. I mean, that guy, if he talks to you, you almost have to have a dictionary to decipher what he's telling you. And he's really got to dumb it down for a guy like me.
I'm with you.
Understand what you're talking about. But Tim is the one where if it's not 100% right, he'll take the first design. Basically, what the three of us actually did on our first design of the Arrow Rest was we were all sitting in a restaurant brainstorming ideas of what we wanted to see in an Arrow Rest. And we were taking some features from some of the different ones that were on the market. We were adding things that we thought would be cool. We were basically designing our first arrow rest around the failure points of the other arrow rests on the market. And so we're just writing all these ideas down on a notebook piece of paper. And then Andrew took these ideas and went back and Andrew draws the stuff up in CAD. He's more of the engineer of the bunch. Sam is more the mad scientist. And so we took all these ideas, put them together in the first generation Arrow Rest, kind of got a prototype after we just laid some stuff down in CAD, came back, and our first design had brass bushing in the thing. And Tim took one look at it, worked the action a little bit, threw it back on the table, and said, this thing's a piece of junk. This is after taking, you know, a year of putting, you know, having prototypes made and all this development. I mean, he took it, two or three looks at it, looked at it for a minute, and threw it on the table and said, this thing's a piece of junk. I mean, we need to do this. And, you know, had we not listened to him, we need to absolutely put him down. And the nice thing about having three of us to start this standard, I thought we had a pretty sweet little widget there. And he basically us to make these products not just status quo, which is where it was, but over the top. And I truly believe our arrow reps are the best arrow reps on the planet.
Yeah, it's you know, with the Versa Rest, there was times that, you know, and again, not trying to throw other companies under the bus, but selling the popular, the very highly marketed arrow rests out there, you know, somebody would say, they'd come in, I do a lot of backcountry hunting, or I do, you know, I'm rough on my equipment, you know, what's the best rest for me? And I would say, well, this Versa Rest would be the best rest for you, you know, and I'd start showing them, and they're like, well, why not this XYZ company rest, or why not that one? They say that's the best one. And I'd walk over and I'd pull one out of the package and I'd sit there and I'd start looking at it and I'd start going over some of the construction points. And it was like, if you're that hard like you say, you know, I don't have to show you anything else. And it's black and white, you know, it really is. And like I said, I've used mine for everything since you guys came to market with them. But, you know, going forward now, you guys have basically came out with Generation 2 or Version 2 of the VersaRest. And I've only got to see the pictures online and through the catalog. But, man, I'm excited. You know, tell us the evolution of what was already a great rest, how it came to be with what you guys have come out with now in the Hybrid Pro.
Well, so that's – we listen to – when you come out with a rest, and it's – our first version of the rest was the top-of-the-line rest. It really is one of the – not only is it the – have all the bells and whistles and kind of what we call the Cadillac of barrel rests on the market, but – it's also got a price point to go with that. And there were parts of that rest that some of the hunting community, you know, they liked all the features that it could do, but there were things that we could do better to it. And then there was also the price point. Your average bow hunter is not going to spend $240 on a micro-tune full capture barrel rest. And so that was one of the big driving forces. But then also we took some of the elements of that rest and we said, you know, we can actually make the hunting version maybe a little bit better. And so we actually came out with a hybrid series of barrel rests. I say series because we have a hybrid Hunter Pro and we also have a hybrid Target Pro barrel rest. And so you can get either version of the rest. And what's cool about this rest is, say you get the Hybrid Target Pro series rest because you want to shoot 3D or indoor or whatever, and you want to go hunting, you can actually get the containment bracket and containment launcher a la carte. And so some of the features that we've done with the new rest is we've made it, on the hunting version, it's 20% lighter, which a lot of bow hunters, you know, perceive the old rest as heavy. If it was heavier than some of the other rests on the market, anyhow, we take that, we made it 20% lighter. Target version, 26% lighter. It still has all the same features as the VersaRest, but, you know, we've actually been able to put some other dampening features and things on the hunting version style rest, and we feel like we've made it better at a better price point. So now you can get the same quality that we've brought, but at a much better price point at, you know, $150 now.
And do you have one of those bad boys there with you?
You know, I do actually. Here's the Vanna White that Phil was talking about.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, let me show you one of the other cool features that we're doing this year. I don't know how well you can see this one. Can you see that one, Phil?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh. That looks pretty Mendoza. Sexy, right?
That's just Mendoza on it.
You know, this year we're actually customizing arrow wrap.
Uh-oh. I was hoping they'd all say Mendoza.
That's an additional cost, but guys who want to personalize their rests can do so through our website. And it will take a little bit longer time to get those just because we've got to do the laser marking and all that and then have time to assemble them and ship them out. But this year, guys will be able to personalize their arrow rests. Guys that have big shops, you know, there's this one down in Denver called No Limits. They could have No Limits or Championship Bow Hunt or Train to Hunt or all different kinds of things, you know, put on their arrow rest this year. So that's kind of a cool new feature that we're doing as well.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, but this one of the big differences of this rest versus the old one is this overdraw bracket is overmolded in a silent material, and then we also have an overmolded launcher here. So there's no more felt required. We've tested these launchers, and of course it's got the side gate loading here. Super quiet. It'll pick the arrow up in any position. You can still set this rest up 5 different ways: top or bottom limb actuated, cable fall away, cable driven, or you can set it in a fix with adjustable spring tension mode. It's got an adjustable, we recommend setting it up in the limb actuated mode. It's got a adjustable cord clamp here, so if you have to make an elevation adjustment, you just loosen this and then you move it up or down on the bow and then re-tighten this clamp down on the cord. Our dampening coil is actually built into the lever arm now, and we've got a universal limb clamp symbol, so this will work on any bow, which before you had to have a specific limb clamp size. And you can still purchase all those same limb clamps. We're still making all our current lines, so if there's guys that like the regular limb clamps already, you can still do that. We're pretty excited about this brass. Here's the target room. So, a little slimmed down version. Got some blue highlights, fancy blue highlights on it this year.
And will they all be blue, or can you do different colors, or just the blue and?
Right now it's just blue. The only customizing option is the name. But in the future we may start offering colors, but that won't be till probably next year.
So I noticed with the one that you the very sexy hybrid hunter that you have on that in front of you, the spring in a different position, like you said, no longer need the limb clamp. That's in my opinion, that's, I mean, I really like the limb clamp, and we've actually in my shop retrofitted other rests with the Hamsky limb clamp, right? So I like it. So adding the feature there, really ease of setup, right, is the big thing for you guys to be able to put that rest in many users' hands and have it very easy to set up. So I felt that the rest before, we set them up, you know, because we were familiar with them and we did pretty well with it, but you guys took that into consideration as well. You know, it's just a matter of slapping it on, tying the cord on, and center shooting, and you're ready to go.
Right, yeah. Well, one of the complaints that we had from our dealers in the past was our instructions were written by a rocket scientist. And actually, that's true. they actually were. But when you read, you get this set of instructions, you get this arrow rest, it's a very simple arrow rest. Anybody that knows how to set up an actuated rest, it's really not that hard. But we actually simplified our instructions. Out of the box, this is ready to go for dealers. You just set it up on your bow, attach it to the bow, adjust the center shot. We've got a pad that sticks to the bottom of the limb, so the cord goes around the pad. That keeps secure in the limb, and we've got a recommended distance in our instructions, how far you attach it, and basically just wrap the cord up through this dampening coil right here. Pull the launcher down tight. Watch this dampening coil expand about an eighth of an inch, and then you're ready to go out and test your tune. And if you need to make any tuning adjustments, let's say you have to move the rest vertically, just loosen this little cord clamp, make your adjustment, pull that back down, tighten the cord clamp back down, and you're ready to go. Real simple, real quick, real easy. We still have our zero tolerance technology built into this rest, and basically that means we've got a patented design on how we capture the launcher arm, so there's zero play, zero side-to-side movement. That's actually the whole reason why we built our very first arrow rest, was because every arrow rest found play in it. And Christmas you won't come. He writes on full sealed statement of Paul Berry. And it's captured in a way where it doesn't have any flop or any movement. And, you know, a lot of guys out there are using, you know, some of the other markets, QADs, ripcords, and those guys are using a bushing. And initially, they're pretty tight tolerance out of the box. After shooting, you get the flop that develops it. And, you know, that's fine. Flop's not going to hurt you as long as you're shooting in a controlled environment. And you might be in your backyard shooting, and you're hitting right down the middle, 50 yards, we would say. And as soon as it rains out, and then a cold front comes in that night, and now you're hunting at 10 degree weather. Well, because of the traction up of the bushing, you go out, you got a big buck coming in, and now you shoot and drop high right, go 10 inches. And that's just traction of the bushing material. So if you wanted something a little bit more foolproof, and especially if guys are going to spend much money and go to Alaska or, you know, hunt different parts of the country where they may not get another chance, you know, you've put all this stuff, you're trained to hunt, you're fit, you're ready to go, and now you got equipment. That's just unacceptable. That was some of the reasons for
buying. Yeah, no, I mean, we're excited to start selling those. I think we're going to have a new favorite rest around my shop anyway. And like you said, especially considering all things, you know, price point and durability, and now being able to be in that same category of price but still with the superior quality, there's no question. You know, I think you guys hit a home run on this one. And I'm excited for your growth, because I'm gonna go ahead and call it for you. You guys, as business owners, you try to predict growth, right? You try to continue to grow and you know, predict good growth. Well, Sean, I hope you enjoyed your hunts this year, because you may be in the factory slamming out all kinds of rest, man. So, I mean, good job. I'm excited to see that in my hands and get it on a bow, because. Like I said, I mean, I know what to expect from Hamsky's quality, and now you guys have incorporated everything with this new product. I'm excited. That's all I got to say.
Well, thanks, Bill.
I like that you can put Mendoza on it.
Well, you know, I was torn between Mendoza or Big Sexy.
I would have liked Big Sexy a little better, maybe.
Hey, I might just have to order myself one that says Big Sexy and put it on the target bow, because, you know, I'll roll with it. I'm okay with it.
So this is funny thing about Phil. I asked Andrew, I go, how do you get the nickname just Big Sexy? And he just looks at him and goes, because he just is.
No. Yeah. That's all Andrew, man. That's all. He does a good job of playing it off. We all know he's number one. So I'm just JV. Andrew's varsity still. So we're working on that. But hey, and one more thing, you know, if anybody out there listening wants to see more, you guys have your catalog online now that you can download. You know, I know that, you know, we'll start having some of those catalogs, the hard copies here once they're available. But as far as, are you guys going to make them available, or is it just going to be digital this year?
Well, they're at the printer now.
Actually, okay.
This time of year, it always comes down to the last minute. We're actually going to be picking up packaging for these new rests on the way to the ATA show in St. Louis. And the catalogs are actually being printed in Nashville and are going to be shipped to the hotel. So we will have catalogs, but again, we're picking all this stuff up here kind of at the ATA show. And, it's crazy how busy it gets this time of the year. You know, with the holidays, everybody's schedules are tight, and it seems like it's always down to the wire. But we do have our catalog online currently at hamskyarchery.com. You can go on there, click on our catalog, and read about our new products that we've got coming out. Of course, we've got, you know, our other products in there as well. And so, yeah, we're excited. We're looking forward to it. I think you're right. I did enjoy my hunting, and I've got people now, so hopefully they can keep up, because I'm going hunting.
Yeah, no, I hear you, man. I'm
And Cody's there.
Cody's there. He's our newest addition to the Hamsky team, and he helps kind of with the operations and keeping things going here day to day. So that's been, I can't say enough about that guy. He's been a real good addition.
I was very happy when I found out he got the job, but I was like, so does this mean you're going to still be able to come and video train to hunt events? And he's like, I don't know about that. And I was pretty bummed because Cody is one of my favorite cameramen to shoot the shit with while waiting around at a train to hunt event. The kid's hilarious.
Yeah, you know, he was able to come out and film a little bit with me this year on one of my deer hunts. And I actually have a free-range bison hunt coming up in February, and I've told him he can go with me on that, so I've got a few guys going with me on that one.
Cool. Yeah, that's cool, man. A lot of people don't know that, and you know, I heard that from you last year about that opportunity, or earlier this year when you said you were going to have that opportunity, and that's really cool to be able to get out there and chase those here in our home state. So other than that, man, I mean, you obviously things are a little bit different with the addition of being a part of the Outback Outdoors team. So do you guys, like, is it that time of year where you guys sit down and you say, okay, what are we going to focus on for next year? What hunts, who's going to try to draw what tags or apply for what tags? You guys kind of sit down and have your meeting of the minds and try to outline the year?
Not really like that. I mean, we're all pretty diehard bow hunters, and we've all got, you know, lots of preference points built up on different species. And you know how it is, Phil. In Colorado, I'm maxed out on moose points. I think I've got 3+10 on mountain goat. Those tags could be in any day or any year type tag. Some of the other guys in similar boats in Colorado and other states. And so it's more when we start getting our draw results back, it's sitting down in front of the whiteboard and saying, okay, I'm going here, we're all going there, you know, putting those things, schedules together, and then lining up the camera guys. And you know, we've got different camera guys. Some camera guys we like to work with, you know, there's just all the different dynamics, you know. I like to take Cody with me, and so that's now with him working here, I still need him holding down the fort. But we'll sit down in front of the whiteboard and start drawing up who's going with who, and you know where we're going. And you know, Trevin's getting ready for his Ibex hunt. That starts here second week of January, right after the ATA show. So I know a lot of the camera guys are going down on that hunt with him.
Is he all healed up?
What's that?
Is he all healed up, ready to go?
I think so. I think he's pretty well ready. So,
good deal.
Cameraman better stay out of his way this year.
Yeah. There was a bunch of them. I was able to go with him a little bit. I guess it was 2 years ago when he threw. And I think we had somewhere around 10 different camera guys down there at some point or another. Not necessarily all at the same time, but it was pretty crazy the amount of people and stuff that we had. Now, they weren't all on the mountain at the same time. He had eyes on the down from below as well. But it was definitely all out. Anybody that draws that tag knows how coveted that tag is. And those are probably, well, statistically, they are the toughest big game animal to kill here on the North American continent. So he's got his work cut out for him, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what comes of that, you know, with the experience from the first hunt and the, you know, we all know that, you know, it's a lot of hard work, but until you're there involved in it, and you know, the Outback Outdoors did a really good job of shedding a little bit more light on that kind of a story, you know, and that kind of a hunt. So I'm really looking forward to part two. And, you know, hopefully he gets close enough and he gets the right opportunity to tag out. But I still say, man, it's one of those deals that the cameraman's got the hard job in that situation. You know, not that the hunting is easy, but it's just, everything's got to be perfect. You got to make sure you get the right shot. And, and not get seen. And, you know, so nothing but respect to those guys. Like I said, I mean, or and you guys, because you guys all help each other out. You guys film for each other, you know. So, yeah that's – so, I mean, is that really that way? Once you get to hunt, you're kind of like, yeah, this kickback is my turn. Or is it, you know
– No, it's more responsibility. I shouldn't say that more. It's a lot of responsibility on both. And again, this being my first year actually behind the camera, or I mean in front of the camera, ultimately, if we don't get the shot, it's not the cameraman's fault, it's my fault, unless he double taps the record button. Then it's his fault.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, this was a learning year for me. There were several times, several of these different upcoming hunts that you'll see where whether it was an ambush or a spot stock, and all these are decisions that the hunter has to make, not only on the quarry that he's hunting, but now where do you want your camera guy? What do you want your camera guy doing? And so now you're not only thinking about the animal, which you should be 100% focused on, but you're thinking about what your camera guy is doing too, because ultimately, if you don't get the shot on film, it falls back on the hunter and the decisions I made. So there's a lot of pressure, I guess, in some of those situations. And I guess being easy is a good thing, because I'm a little bit more relaxed about it back with some of the other hosts. So I'm just going to kind of do my thing and you know, stay calm. And that seemed to work well for me this year.
So did you have to clear out some space in your ATA calendar to do the meet and greets and kiss the babies and shake the hands and sign? Now, where are we going to see Sean, you know, when they post, hey, come sign with Lee and Tiffany and come sign? Where is Sean going to be? Where is Sean going to be?
I like that. I like how that is.
Sean does the Outback Outdoors. That's his fun part. So My first responsibility is Hamsky Archery Solutions and making sure that you know, we're there. Obviously, this is a business. We started Hamsky Archery Solutions actually because archery is our hobby, but it's also a business. And, you know, we want to keep it fun. We don't want to, you know, get so involved with Hamsky that we don't shoot tournaments or anything anymore. I guess that's one of the cool things about us at Hamsky is we can be seen at all the local shoots. We're at a lot of the national stuff. All three of us are very active in archery, whether it's bow hunting or tournament shooting or both. And I think that's worked well for us because a lot of people with new ideas have come to us because they see us out there in the community with them, alongside shooting with them. And so we're approachable, and we've had people come to us with new ideas, and that's worked well. So, going back to where am I going to be? I'm going to be in the booth. Now, there will be times where I get to get out and join those guys and go visit some of the other sponsors of the show and some of that. And that's important to me, too, because I want to know, you know, I want to know these guys and have these relationships with these other manufacturers and companies as well on a personal level. So,
well, you let me know when you need a break. I'll be floating around for 2 days. I'll gladly come in and cover the booth for you for a little while so you can go out there and, you know, sign the autographs and you know, take the pictures with the booth babes and all that. Hey, man, I'm there for you, Sean. Just let me know.
You know what? And I'll fill in for Andrew. And people will hear the term doohickey and thingy a lot. And there'll be lots of pointing and gesturing.
Whatchamacallit?
Yeah, whatchamacallit. The thing is, Bob, right here. Ball bearings. There's stainless ball bearings.
It's all fun and jokes, but I've been to the ATA show and actually had a representative of XYZ company talk to me like that, you know? And it was early, a couple years back. I'm like, hey, is that third axis adjustable? I think you do it right here and kind of like this, and you know, I think you can just eyeball it, though. It's like, oh, wow. So, hey, you laugh about it, but it happens.
Yep.
It happens.
Yep.
So, not at the Hamsky booth. Won't happen there.
No, it won't happen there.
You guys don't just eyeball everything?
We don't eyeball anything.
Yeah.
except for maybe the booth babes.
That's okay. We'll see if we can draw that attention over to the Hamsky booth, that, you know, when the time presents itself, because I want to be there for that big group picture when that opportunity comes out.
Oh, it's just like fishing. You just need the right lure.
That's right.
Oh, you got, yeah, you guys put Phil Mendoza in the booth.
Oh, I don't know.
Hamsky archery blue t-shirts. The booth babes will come to you.
They got some pretty sexy pro staff. I mean, you got the young and talented Doogie Hauser. I mean, you know, David Hauser, you put him in there and he'd get all them, you know, young ladies come check him out.
Actually, he will be in the booth quite a bit this year. So, yeah. That I tell you what, I can't say enough about David Hauser. He's probably one of he is, in our opinion, the top up-and-coming men's open pro, and he's just 18 years old. Yeah. It's amazing what that kid's accomplished already in such a young career. And he's been a loyal Hamsky pro staffer for the last, I'd say, 3 or 4 years now.
Yeah.
And amazing, amazing mission shooter.
Yeah, but, you know, it doesn't surprise me to see the results of that when you've got a kid that he surrounds himself with people like you and Sean and Tim. And I know even a couple years ago he did really well at Reading, and he spent a couple days with Tim before he went to Reading, you know.
Okay.
Putting yourself in a situation and surrounding yourself with those kind of people and learning and just absorbing things, it's no surprise to me to see what he's achieved and his growth potential, because I said the same thing. I mean, I'm excited to watch it because the kid's, I mean, I say kid, right? He's 18. He's old enough to vote now. I mean, the young man, the sky's the limit.
It really is. We're excited to have him represent Hamsky, that's for sure.
And you might be paying him some contingency checks moving forward. Just heads up.
no question.
Yeah. So what else is in the works for Hamsky? I mean, you guys obviously new product that just dropped a couple days ago. We've got ATA show here in a week or so, but is there any insight you can give the listeners as to, yeah, we're continuing to evolve as a company, we're continuing to consider new things, maybe XYZ product, or is that something you try to keep pretty tight to the vest until you're ready to release something?
Well, we do keep it pretty tight. We've actually got other products in development. We actually almost had another product in the catalog last year. And it was actually in the catalog, and we actually pulled it last minute because we weren't 100% satisfied with the performance. We didn't quite have all the bugs worked out now. And so we do have other products we're working on. We keep it pretty tight. Though, because we want these products perfect when they come out, and up to Tim's standard, my standard, Andrew's standard, that's a tall order. But we've got some things that we're working on that will be trickling out in the next few years, and some of these things ought to revolutionize different aspects of hunting and tournament archery. So. We're working on other things, but right now we're just going to focus on this new product and, you know, right now.
Yeah, well, we're excited to see that, and anytime you need a new crash test dummy with stuff, just let me know.
That sounds good.
I'll be quiet, I promise. I won't say anything.
Yeah, that's why I'm not volunteering out of that picture call over social media.
Well, you might need a model or something. You know, yeah. Maybe either one of you guys might qualify.
If you need a bearded model, I'm in.
That you are.
I'll even comb it that day.
Yeah.
I can't help you in that category. There's not much facial hair that grows on my face that looks decent. So.
Nah, Phil goes for the smooth pool boy look.
Yeah. The pool boy.
Yeah.
Well, cool, man. No, I mean, we're excited to see it. You know, like I said, hands on. Here we'll be able to get our hands on here in a week or so. But when are customers going to be able to see these in people's shops and actually start to purchase them, or maybe purchase them online?
So January 3rd, we should have all of this up on the website ready to order for guys that are wanting to order online. The show starts the 5th, 6th, 7th of January, I believe. Right. And but basically, early January is when dealers will be starting to have these rests in their shops, and guys will be able to get them in January.
And then as far as, like, if somebody wanted to personalize their rest, is it adding a couple weeks to it, 10 days, a couple weeks?
Well, I mean, so it's actually adding anywhere from – basically how we're going to do it is anything that comes in, say, January will ship middle to end of February. And that just gives us time for the laser marking site that we have, that we use. We'll collect one of the orders. Say in January, we might get, you know, a couple hundred guys. All of those will go to the laser marking at the same time. We'll get them back from the laser marker and have time to assemble them and package them and get them out. So basically, anything that comes in January would ship middle to end of February. Anything that comes in February would ship middle to end of March. So there is a bit of a delay on the customization, but an option that no one else is doing right now. We thought that would be a good little attribute to add to our product.
Cool.
I think so. People love personalization.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They really do. So, yeah. And there's a lot of guys that get their bows stolen at some of these tournaments and stuff. You got your name on your rest. There's no question whose it is.
At least if they steal your bow, you'll have a rest left behind.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's cool, man. I mean, I excited to see what's to come. Like I said, the rest looks awesome. Excited to see the Big Easy on the big screen and that moving forward. But man, that's cool to see. So very happy. You know, you guys are here local, here close to me. So even though we're as close as we are, we don't see each other that often. But
both so busy.
I know, but that's all right. We're gonna have to. Hey man, we're just gonna have to schedule a lunch or a coffee, right? Isn't that what like high-ranking business officials, business people do?
Absolutely. You know.
Oh well, I could pretend for a day.
The Big Easy and the Big Sexy together again.
Yeah.
Well, I, you know, I've been to your shop, but not since you've opened it, and I need to get up there and check out your new shop. And I've heard nothing but great things about it. I know you've held the. What, you're just your second leg of your Triple Crown, what, last weekend? Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, we had our second leg, and we had a big Joe Ed shoot the week before. I mean, that was like 200 and some kids the week before. And we have, there's a big tournament a month and then like a smaller secondary tournament a month for the next 3 months. So excited, man. We're excited. We've got the outdoor range hopefully this spring.
And the Alpha Bow Hunter Challenge.
I'm definitely 100% on board for that.
Woo! There you go.
And, I appreciate it.
I'll be there when I read through or you know listen to the podcast of what it was going to be. That's exciting. So that's right up a lot of guys' alley around here.
Yeah, I've actually been working pretty hard on. Ironing some things down that I need to line out for that and actually talking with some potential sponsors and partners for that event so that way I can offer more to the shooters. The one thing I will say that I'm probably going to have to change just from just running the tournament in a smooth fashion is I'm probably going to make the broadhead portion of it more of a novelty, still make it an independent event of the overall. The more I think about it, it's like, well, where do I limit fixed blade and expandables and you know, that whole deal. And then making someone possibly have to have a different setup, right? Somebody might have they want to shoot their tournament bow for this kind of event, and then they have to consider the broadhead portion of it. So we'll see. I'm ironing out those details. Excited for it, though. There'll be some more information I put out here towards the end of January. as far as that, and then the pre-registration, so I can make sure I have all my ducks in a row. But I can tell you now that talking with Tim, you know, Tim shedding some more insight on things, and I actually will have some sponsored targets, some sponsored bales to where people can win either additional product from said manufacturers, cash. So it's starting to evolve, and it's starting to grow its legs, and I'm excited to see where it's going to go.
Yeah, I'm excited to be there. I want to be at the inaugural event.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah, Will's got priorities.
Yeah,
Will got baby issues.
Look, the worst possible. I mean, sure, Memorial weekend, terrible weekend to do it. But the birth of baby Bradley, the second coming of Jesus, I mean, it couldn't be a worse time you could pick.
We might have to have a moment of celebration. I don't want to say moment of silence. We might have to add a moment of celebration on Will's behalf.
I like that.
Because I will be strapped up with the microphone and emceeing the event over the loudspeakers, giving people the play-by-play. And I'll take a minute for a moment of celebration for Will.
You know what? Maybe I could Periscope it.
There you go.
You know, the app where you can watch things happen live through someone's phone. Here in the hospital, Bradley is dilated.
Whoa. I think you better get permission on that one.
I don't think I'm allowed.
Just saying.
I don't have cameras anymore, actually.
Oh, really?
I've heard that, but I don't know. That could just be around here.
I don't know. I didn't even ask or try or anything like that with my two kids, so I don't know.
What did you do in that situation?
Man.
Yeah.
What did you do in that situation? Because my plan is to try to just stand by your head and
stand. I got lucky. My wife, both of my kids were breached at head up, so they had to do a C-section. So I didn't have a choice. So they had the curtain. I was sitting next to the wife. And I tell you what, man, I mean, the very first time with my firstborn, just not knowing what to expect. It was kind of happened quick. It was like, oh, and then all of a sudden there's the baby. On the second one, I had a little bit better idea what was going on. And they, baby's head up. We're going to have to do a C-section again. And when I started kind of paying attention as much as I could, that's some violent stuff going on over there, even on a C-section, man. They're pulling out the insides of the, and she's sitting on the table and she's sitting there shaking. I mean, not like
Jesus Christ
shaking. But they're like pulling, they're jerking on the baby. They're pulling that baby out of there, man. I tell you what, it was that second time when I actually like was paying attention. It kind of freaked me out a little bit. Not gonna lie.
So note to self: don't pay attention. Whatever's going on in the room, focus on something else.
The first one, my firstborn, that the doctor asked me, "Do you want to see?" And I'm like, "No, I'm good." You know, curtain in the way. I'll just take care of my wife. And the second one, they didn't even ask, you know, and I'm glad they didn't ask because it seemed like it was a little bit more violent with the body shaking around. Will, good luck, man. I mean, I wish you and your wife nothing but the best with your child and your childbirth, but careful what you get into when you start looking around those things.
Just don't look deep. Don't.
Man, I don't know. I don't know. I'm glad the curtain was there. I don't know about Sean. I don't know if Sean got to witness more than I did, but.
I got to witness all my kids' births, and I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm glad I was there. It's definitely worth being there for the birth of your children, that's for sure. So.
Yeah, no question, man. No question. But
I just don't know that I'd film.
You don't know what's that?
I don't think I'd film it, though.
The way Phil describing it, I feel like he was one of those guys who, when they opened the Ark of the Covenant in Indiana Jones, you know, everyone's face just melted.
Hey, no, man. I mean, I got to see my kids quickly, and everything went good. So, I'm happy, and we'll leave it at that. Leave it at that.
What more can you say?
Yeah, no more to say, but. Anyway, amen, Sean. We appreciate you joining us today, and look forward to seeing you guys grow and kill it. Because, like I said, I think that rest is all things point to it being money, and I'm I'm sure that we'll both have the opportunity to make some money on that product. So looking forward to that.
Yeah. Well, hey, it was a pleasure finally being able to hook up with you, Phil. I know we've been trying and just one thing or another hadn't worked out, but I appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk with you guys and look forward to coming down and visiting you and seeing your new shop here soon.
Sounds good. So we'll check in with you at the ATA and we'll definitely, you know, get some pictures up on the site and rub some shoulders and hang out. So, Will, you got anything else to close with, man?
Yes, this fine program is brought to you by those handsome devils over at Mountain Ops, the Harbertson brothers. I know they're part of a larger team, but they're the guys, you know, we talk with the most. They make tremendous products at Mountain Ops. Magnum Protein, the Yeti pre-workout is probably my favorite, which I no longer take full scoops of because of the power and potency of it. I'm sure some of you may be ready to handle a little bit wilder of a ride than I, but my own self, I'm sticking with the half scoop. I'm going to tell you what, that's plenty for most of you. Most of you guys out there and girls out there, you don't need that full scoop. You may think you do, but start small. Start small. You know, walk or crawl before you run. That's my advice to you. I know Phil is a big fan of the Enduro and its electrolyte charged power.
Hey, so Will, you're telling me that there's more people that work out at Mountain Ops and Casey and Jordan. They don't create the product and make it and package it and bottle it and distribute it like Hamsky does. You gonna tell me that there's more people that work at Mountain Ops?
See, I'm sure if they had a Cody Ventrice, we would have already had some blue drink in our hands by now.
I think we might need some blue drink with the new blue accents on the hybrid.
Yes.
Hunter Pro or Target Pro, whichever you're looking for.
I don't even care if mine says Mendoza on it.
Hey, man.
There's not a lot of people ending with that name around here, so it'll be just as good as Bradley.
They already have the template for the etch for the Phil Mendoza, so I might just order you another one and slap it on your bow.
I like where this is going.
It'll look like you have a bow caddy.
There you go. Hey, is Phil Mendoza shooting here? And I see his name on his wrist. And nope, it's Will Bradley.
I'm just a fan, just a big Will fan.
Bo Patty, right?
There you go.
Yeah, Phil, we got about a 13-mile-an-hour wind coming out of the southwest. You're going to want to use the gold tip on this one.
Yeah. No, but all joking aside, you know, Casey and Jordan – looking forward to seeing what other products they have coming out, because I've seen some new packaging for some jerky. I've seen the blue drink in a bottle. And I'm hoping that maybe at the ATA show when we're there hanging out with the Hamsky boys, we get to get some of this new product or get some more information so we can let everybody else know about the new product. So excited to see that. I know they're going to be there, get Mountain Ops. And Will, if somebody wants to get 20% off, what do they got to do?
Well, Phil, that's simple. If you want to get 20% off your Mountain Ops purchase, all you have to do is enter the coupon code NBH20 at checkout, and you will receive 20% off your order, because paying full price sucks.
That's true.
And to avoid it, all you got to do, Phil, NBH20 at checkout. Not that you shouldn't pay full price for things. It's just like, hey, if you can get out of it, why not?
That's it. And do you know what else sucks, Will?
Not being able to have a place to store your binoculars when you're...
That's exactly right.
Ah, it does suck. And why does that suck, Phil?
Because if you have a set of high-dollar binoculars, you know that... Hey, I'll say that my buddy Sean over here, when I've seen him on the tournament trail, he's got his nice binos because he values, you know, being able to see the targets.
You got to
see
his targets.
You know, if you have those binos exposed and you get them all dirty and the weather's out and exposed to them, then what good is having a high-dollar set of binoculars if you can't take care of them?
They're no good. How are you going to see through those dirty, ugly-ass binoculars?
No, I tell you. So I know what I started doing.
What did you start doing, Phil? Preach to me, brother.
I got me a top-of-the-line bino harness, and my good buddy Carlos and Jarrett have the best one on the market.
Ooh, baby, where are they selling those at?
Alaskan Guide Creations, Will. Do you have one?
I do have a pair. I have a beautiful Hunter Green pair of Alaskan Guide Creations, and they're one of my most cherished hunting possessions because I put my mavens in there, and I know they are safe as a baby in their mother's arms. I know my binoculars are protected from the badness in the world. There is nothing better than the feeling of having those really nice, expensive binoculars strapped safely to the bosom of my chest.
And Sean, I know that, you know, the Outback Outdoors crew may have some kind of affiliation with some bino harness affiliate, but we may have to, you know, shed a little light on Sean's bino harness.
Hey,
you know,
where once there was dark,
right?
There will be light.
That's right. So I, you know, we may have to get Sean, get him some incognito, you know, behind the camera.
You know, it's funny you guys bring this topic up because I don't know how much of this we got on film this year, but, you know, we had Outback Outdoors, you know, a lot of the guys are using the S4 gear. Trevin's got his little Cabela's, you know, bino cover thing. And this year I was kind of going back and forth between the S4 and the, what I've always just used on the tournament trail, which they're out in the old dust and everything. And, yeah, so it was kind of a little bit of a debacle there, on who was using what bino harness. That's a very important, feature in your hunting wardrobe.
Well, you guys need some structure in your bino harness, for the team of the Outback Outdoors. So we may have to put that connection together for you because I'll tell you, they're money. They protect the binoculars. They fully enclose the eyelids and everything, keep everything covered up to keep them out of the elements. They have some very well strategically placed pockets for some small intricate items. I like to put my Allen wrenches in one side, you know, I have an extra release in the front of my front pouch. And, you know, so some of the critical items that you need. Another great company out there that, doing good things and excited to see them, kind of spread their wings and begin to fly as well, because Carlos is doing the right things out there and pushing that product. So, anyway, Alaskan Guide Creations, check them out. Supporters of the show as well. So that's all I got, Will. I gotta tend to the family. I know that Sean probably has some stuff to do out there as well.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. So head on over to Facebook and like our page, like Hamskies. You can check us both out on Instagram. We're also on YouTube, and I think we're on Stitcher now. I know something funny's going on with our iTunes feed, but I'm going to check that out today and see if I can get it straightened out. Also, if you're in the Denver metro area, you can stop on in and see Phil himself or his lovely assistant, Bo, at No Limits Archery. They will hook you up with the best products that are out there, and they don't BS you with what's going on. Also, if you would like Iron Wolf hat or Natural Born Hunter t-shirt, you can check out our Etsy shop. There's a link currently in the Instagram bio, and I can also post it in the Facebook page for those of you who don't have Instagram.
One more thing. I've got a different section on the Championship Bow Hunting Podcast coming out. Smaller section is going to answer some more technical bow hunting questions, style tips from the tuning side to the shooting side. So that stuff's going to go up. The first episode is Monday, Wednesday, Friday episodes now. 5 to 10 minutes, short and sweet. We work hand in hand with the Natural Born Hunter with what we try to deliver, bringing consistent content with gentlemen like Sean here and all things bow hunting. So
that's right.
Check it out.
Have a great episode about purchasing a new bow, correct?
That episode is up. So a lot of things to come. We're trying to continue to evolve and what we offer from the package of the education and the entertainment side.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Natural Born Hunter Podcast. Wake up, chase your dreams, repeat.